Good morning. Today on Talking Business, we have our own Northern Tioga Chamber Director, Lisa Jensen, coming on to talk about the insurance business that she's in. And we also have Nicole Kubzevich, a financial coach, Ramsey certified, always on the show to add some good questions and conversation. And then, of course, myself, Matt, the president of the chamber. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it's a great day to talk about insurance and to talk about business in general and how things are going. So today we've got Lisa on, and we're going to talk about small business that's located in Newark Valley and in Main Endwell, which was formerly called Klossner and...
Frost, Klossner, and Swan.
Ah, okay. And now we're transitioning into a new name soon.
Correct. Okay. In 2026, we're going to be High Street Insurance Partners.
High Street Insurance Partners. Okay. So before we get too far into insurance conversations, can you just talk a little bit about the history? Because Klossner's was a gentleman who is from Newark Valley. Is that correct?
Correct.
So can you talk to us a little bit about the founding owner of the insurance company and what his role was in starting the business? And plus, he was a business owner in Northern Tioga, right? Organic, homegrown.
Correct.
Do you have any information you can kind of give us a greeting and introduction on that?
Sure. Art Frost was the one to found the agency in the late 60s. And a few years later, Dwayne Klossner partnered with him. With Dwayne, his wife Bonnie came along shortly after. And then in the 70s, Dale Swan joined. And that created the Frost, Klossner, Swan Incorporated.
Gotcha. Mm. What was the focus of the agency as far as insurance goes? Is this like liability, health insurance? Like, what are you guys covering for people?
Everything. Property and casualty, life insurance, health insurance. We can do it all.
Gotcha.
How long have you been selling insurance, Lisa? Like, how long has this been your thing?
I started in 2000, but as a bookkeeper. I didn't have anybody to train me on the bookkeeping part, so to break up the monotony of training myself, I learned insurance, and in 2003, I transitioned into insurance.
Cool. We had a Medicare person on a few weeks ago, so I think in order to keep it fresh for listeners, can we focus mostly on like property and casualty and talk about the business aspect of maybe for people who are looking to go into the insurance business or things of that nature for today's conversation, if that's cool.
That's perfect, because I'm not licensed in life or health, so Kay. I can't really gotcha. Speak on it.
Perfecto.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you started out as a bookkeeper and then transitioned into an insurance agent, but was there something that was drawing you to the insurance world?
Yeah, helping people.
Okay.
I enjoyed that aspect of it. I'm advising them of their coverage. I'm helping them to save money. I'm helping them to protect their assets. That's really what drew me to it. That was much more interesting and fun to me and challenging than crunching numbers by working as a bookkeeper.
So it feels like a real win when you're able to, you know, meet someone's needs and save them money.
Exactly.
I know you definitely saved me money, so I'm super pumped over that.
Same.
Right.
What is one common myth about insurance that you wish more people understood?
That it's a commodity. Insurance is not a commodity. Insurance is value. If you don't have your items covered properly and you have a claim, you're going to feel it.
Gotcha. What are some trends going on right now in insurance? Like, you hear about some disasters down in Florida and the rising costs of home values, and how has that been affecting insurance?
That's affecting everybody's insurance rates.
Right.
Even though it's happening in Florida or California, Texas, wherever, eventually it trickles down to us in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they're going to feel the pain a little bit more in the areas that are affected by those catastrophic mm-hmm. claims, but it does trickle down.
Yeah. So as an insurance agent, it's probably caught between a rock and a hard place sometimes, right? You're hearing some people complain about the rates go up, but at the same time, some of these insurances are not optional. Some of them are the law, say with car insurance, you know?
Yep.
So how do you manage that and kind of meet them and be caring, you know, over their concerns, but at the same time, you know?
Well, we're an independent agency, so we represent multiple carriers. So that helps us to take their policies and quote them through several carriers to make sure they're getting the best price. We like to review their discounts, make sure they're getting all the discounts that they qualify for, advise them to try to keep their driving record clean. Mm-hmm. Taking the driver defensive driving course is also a nice discount that we advise people to do.
Yeah, that brings me to a good question and even something that I've always wondered about. Like, so when you have the access to offer several different, you know, options, like that's more of an insurance broker approach. Is that correct?
In a sense, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how could that be positive to only have one insurance company to deal with versus having a I just don't understand. Like, why wouldn't anybody do that?
Well, with a captive agency, you're only learning one brand, their eligibility guidelines, how to use their system. There's things that they can do that the independent agent might not be able to do as far as eligibility.
The way I describe it sometimes to people is like, do you really want to put yourself in a sole source position?
Yeah.
Where you have one person quoting you every time, whereas you can compare. You have open competition right. when you work with a broker. So, and there's, you're just, Lisa and is just trying to find the best price for her client. Whereas mm-hmm. if you're going to an agent where it's like, I only have access to XYZ insurance company policy products. Okay, well, you're either just working with that company because you're loyal to them and you love their commercial, or you're, you know, whereas Lisa is out shopping. Mm-hmm. And it's open, it's in the marketplace, right? And there's competitive pricing.
So then another pro would be like if someone only had one company to choose from, that's just one company they have to learn.
That's
right. So mm-hmm. you have to open your brain up a little bit to yeah. understanding and, multiple
and
companies.
There's probably give and takes yeah. on certain policy exclusions and limitations and things like that. But ultimately, right, you're just trying to find the best product, apple to apple, best cost per premium and without sacrificing benefit amount.
Yeah, the best value for the coverage, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're on a hunt?
Sometimes, yeah.
How many different companies do you guys work with? Can you broker out to? Or what does that look like?
Well, it depends because, you know, with auto, there might be 15. Mm. With home, there's probably 30 or more.
Gotcha.
Commercial lines.
You're calling up Flo from Progressive?
No, pretty much.
Yeah. So what is that? Can you talk? Are you allowed to talk through like, okay, you get a person who's got insurance over here and they're like, I'm looking for, what can you do for me? What does that process look like? You take a policy illustration and then is there like a software that you use to like get prices or how do you shop it?
Yeah, we have a rater. Okay. So we input their information into the rater, especially for auto and homeowners. Commercial lines is a different ball game, but it'll rate several companies at the same time for us. We usually have an idea of where to go based on the information that we receive from them. And we go from there. We pick the top few. Sometimes we are going through every carrier that comes up in the radar.
So I have a question. This might be an insurance trade secret. Maybe, maybe not. You'll be sure to tell us, but let's say, for example, I called two different insurance brokers, and they used that program that you just mentioned, and they were able to present to me some options. But then the other broker had the same insurance. What's up with maybe the prices coming in differently?
Well, it's going to depend on the coverage that's quoted, the discounts, and then there's some carriers that the rate might be a little bit different with one agency than another.
That's what I was wondering. And, yes. And how is that created?
It's created on the book of business. Okay. I'll give you an example. Progressive, we're considered a platinum agency. Hmm. So our rates are going to be a little bit less than an agency that is not considered platinum.
Mm. And do you get that rating based on how many customers you have using them?
It's not just based on the number of customers. It's based on coverage as well. You know, we don't sell state minimum limits, so that's a factor into it.
So it's a little bit. Limits. So your standing kind of goes into like how you sell, like your responsibility almost with like selling policies? Or?
Correct.
So like they view you as like a platinum, so they're going to give you a little bit more discount on premium because they know that they're not, you're mitigating some risk for them.
Right.
Ah. So a little bit of like employer's responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, this is good to know on the inside. I mean, I just feel like, you know, it's knowledge, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As we all are the customers, right? You and I are customers.
And insurance is one of those things where it's like, yeah, I need it. I don't want to spend a ton of time in my day shopping and calling up Geico, calling up whoever for getting that discount, that 5% to 10% discount, right? It's like, I have other stuff I need to worry about. So I just feel like it makes more sense to go through a broker.
Yeah, me too.
But then again, it's like, okay, well, how do I know which broker is good, right? Because you've got credit unions in the area that work with brokers, and they'll always, you call in, and they're like, oh, well, we can get you a discount on your insurance.
That's true.
And it's like, all right, but how do I know? It's like my premiums went up with the last person I was with, and I never got a call. Like, you know, it's like, so like you trade off service and... But if you're one of those people, it's like, it's not broken, don't fix it, you know?
That's the way some people see it. They also feel, well, I've been insured with ABC yep. Insurance Company all my life.
There's a loyalty know, so
I'm,
there.
I'm loyal. Mm-hmm. Why should I change? Well, you're paying more premium than you need to because your rates go up instead of down. That loyalty, the only thing it may get you is accident forgiveness.
Yeah. I think that lately, insurance in all categories has just been getting a black eye just yes. as far as I don't know, you hear stories and I try not to speculate because a lot can get twisted in the news, but it's like a lot of things happen where you just hear insurance companies don't want to pay for things, or they'll find ways to get out of paying for claims and stuff. What is your process, or what are some things that you view on losses and getting claims paid for people? Because we had that incident in Newark Valley over the summer. Were you involved in covering any claim or helping clients with claims during that time? And what was that process like?
Well, yeah, we had a lot of claims, especially from the hail, the mm-hmm. hailstorm. Actually, we still have some that are ongoing and open.
Mm.
As long as the coverage is there, we will help fight for the claim. But with our carriers, we really haven't seen an issue with that.
Really? They've been pretty cooperative in paying.
Again, as long as you have that coverage. If you don't have the coverage.
If you don't have hail coverage, is what you're saying. So you might have to add a rider onto your policy for hail?
Not necessarily. Most people do have hail coverage.
So for standard property and casualty insurance in New York, though, where we've had multiple weather events that are extreme outliers, like, do you foresee there being changes in policy coverage and, like, recommendations being added, like, hey, you might get more golf ball size hail in New York, or we don't know, but how do you go about that?
Well, the standard homeowners policy is going to cover
hail damage. It'll cover hail damage.
Yeah. A better example would be when Newark Valley had the flooding.
Okay.
A lot of people don't have flood insurance. They're not in a flood zone.
Right. Yeah. Cause so, FEMA's not going to even with that event, FEMA's not going to list it as a flood zone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so they lost a lot. There's also backup of sewer water and drains. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have water backing up in your basement because your drain is clogged, or your sump pump failed because it's electric and the power's been out for days. If you don't have that additional coverage on your policy, you're not going to get any help from insurance for it.
Do you guys do things as far as, like, providing resources to people for how to like avoid disasters in their home and stuff, like some tips?
We're going to be doing an email blast in the future to help informational wise.
Because I think a lot of people in the community should get that information.
I agree.
And I think doing something in person too, because a lot of people are desensitized to emails with how much stuff comes through. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that maybe our chamber could help host somewhere. At a community center or something. Like, this is information that people need to be aware of, because otherwise they just get mad at the insurance companies. But really it's like, well, they're not going to cover because your sump pump didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. And I think it's very, personally speaking, you know, when, you know, like I purchased my insurance, with Lisa, all of the information is there on that day, mm-hmm. right? It's a lot of information,
yeah.
especially if you're buying several different policies, right? It's really hard to retain all of that. And so is it our responsibility to have to review that coverage so that we know? It's easier just to be like, hey, Lisa, did I have coverage for that, right? Like, I mean, we got to own our own responsibility in it, you know? Sometimes it's easier just to shift it to someone who is the pro in the area, you know, to help us understand versus reading through all the small print and hoping we understand it, you know? But reviewing, you know, or having those little tips along the way, I see to be beneficial, you know?
Well, that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. To help you review the coverage, to make sure you do have the coverage you need.
Yeah.
Sounds like in the spring we should try and, before like summer weather season comes and hurricane season, we should be getting some information out to people.
I agree.
I think it would resonate, and I think with last summer being on top of people's mind, it can't hurt.
No, definitely can't hurt.
What are some types of insurance that people usually overlook but is something that they like really should consider?
Oh, ATVs. A lot of people don't have their ATVs.
And that's common
or snowmobiles.
Around here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, why and insure that fun? The fun object.
It's usually very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Once you take your ATV off your property, you don't have that liability from your homeowners.
Mm.
A lot of people think, well, I have insurance on my garage and I store my ATV in my garage, so if my garage catches fire, my ATV is covered. That's not the case.
Mm.
You need ATV insurance, which is a motorcycle policy.
Hmm. Yeah, motorcycle insurance. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's interesting. Do you do a lot of boat insurance?
Yep.
Or is that under motorcycle too?
Nope, it's a watercraft policy.
Motorcycles can't go in the water.
Nope.
They're not supposed to, at least.
Not yet, anyway.
You're right. Yeah. Until someone listening to this comes up with that idea. Elon, if you're listening, you know?
Too funny.
Oh boy.
What is one of the most memorable times that you sold insurance to someone that really made a difference for them? Like, I'm sure you have some of those heart string pulling moments, you know. Do you recall a situation that you were so glad to be, not only for them to, you know, have insurance, but also to help them through that process, because it was a pretty devastating situation?
There's quite a few. One that really comes to mind is a woman who had her homeowner's insurance. She thought her barn was covered. After I reviewed her current policy, when she first came to me for a quote, the barn was covered for $10,000 because it just had the automatic 10% of the coverage on her home.
Mm-hmm.
Her home was only covered for $100,000. So she didn't have replacement value coverage on her home. She had very little coverage on her barn. And she had a big building across the street from her that she owned that was on the same deed that wasn't covered at all.
Hmm.
Fortunately, she didn't have a claim. But once I pointed out what needed to be covered and what coverage she was pretty upset with her current agent.
Mm. To not give her, like, the full scope of what she was, you know, needing.
It's a pretty big oversight to miss. Yeah. You know, a pretty decent oversight. It's like, I don't know, I always am like, you'd rather just make sure that everything is done right. You don't ever want to have to deal with something down the road because you didn't look close enough.
Yeah, that's why we ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, so in your experience, when people pay off their mortgages, how many of them actually stop paying their house insurance?
Not many, to be honest with you.
That's good.
But most of them don't think to call us and say we paid off our mortgage, so the mortgage continues to be on their insurance policy. The mortgage company doesn't contact us.
Uh-huh.
It's up to you, the client, to contact us. So if you have a claim and that mortgage company is still listed, that claim check is going to be payable to both you and the mortgage company.
Take a note, listeners. Take notes.
Same with a lien holder on a car. If you paid off that lien,
mm-hmm.
give your agent a call and have them removed from the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because removing the lien changes not just the payout, but does it change in any of the pricing or?
No, it doesn't. Okay. Doesn't change the pricing, doesn't change the payout, other than if you have a total loss to your vehicle, that lien holder is going to be listed on your check. So both of you have to sign that check.
Which is just going to be a holdup, and who wants to deal with holdups?
Exactly.
Yeah, holdup for retitling if you were to sell it.
Yeah.
Which I almost sold my car a few times just because like it's holding its value. I was going to sell it and just get a beater. And my wife was like, no, don't do that.
That would be really sacrificial on your part, Matt.
I'm full of sacrifices.
Wow, lately, even when I heard you say you're...
I'm giving up the bar.
Wow, the making it a child playroom.
Well, child playroom, but I'm going to try and put some arcade games down there eventually.
See what fatherhood does to you?
Huh?
See what fatherhood does?
Yeah, I'm a real life dad. I'm a girl dad. So, I was like thinking about doing that, but I was like getting convinced not to. Do you think that the auto market right now, would it be probably not in someone's interest to sell a newer car that's got its value being held, but when you trade down for a older car, your insurance will go up? Is that correct?
Not always.
Not always.
It depends. Yeah.
Oh, back on the table.
It's going to depend on the coverage you need, you know, whether you're carrying comprehensive and collision or not. So it's going to depend on the value of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And some vehicles cost more to repair than others.
Right.
So that definitely also goes into the factors.
Do you have any, are you allowed to talk about auto brands that typically carry the least amount of insurance?
Ooh, real inside insurance.
Because I'm a Honda buyer through and through, usually, ever since like I was 20. Owned my first car, it was a Honda. Is there any correlation to insurance pricing? And
well, Hondas don't necessarily cost more to insure because there's so many other factors that go into the rating. You know, okay. Your age, your location,
your driving history,
your credit.
Now that I'm 30, technically my brain is fully developed and therefore my insurance price goes down, right? Because if you're someone who's under the age of 25, don't you get like a pretty bad insurance rate?
Right. Once you turn 25, that's when you see the biggest difference. Yeah. But then, you know, 30 years old doesn't really make a difference. You've already hit that 25-year mark.
Well, little do the underwriters know, I haven't had much development since like 18, so.
Oh, boy.
So you just hit on a particular term that made me think, oh, I got to ask this question. You mentioned FICO score.
Yes.
And how that can create part of the premium that someone has, right? So this comes up in my clients and, you know, trying to reduce their debt, you know, and with due time of not having any debt, their FICO score is going to decrease. But what would you do for someone who didn't dabble with credit, period? They just cash flowed everything. They're going to use manual underwriting for a home so they don't have to open up that can of worms and risk being in bondage. But then how do they get insurance if a FICO score is really needed? So like with manual underwriting, that's a mortgage lender that allows you to use, let's say, your cell phone bill. Paying a utility, let's say a letter from your landlord to say Johnny has been paying his rent faithfully for the last 3 years to create some type of interest rate through manual underwriting. So if that case happened with you and someone didn't have a FICO score yet because they just didn't want to dabble with it, how would that work?
Well, a no credit score is better than a poor credit score.
Woo woo!
We don't have manual underwriting.
You said no credit score?
Yes. If you don't have credit, it's going to be no credit score.
It's better than having a poor one?
Yes.
Wow.
I'll do it again.
The banks, tell the banks that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the banks are they're the fox watching the hen house because the worse the credit score, the more they can charge on interest.
That's right.
However, the better your credit score, the better your premium can be.
But it's to give hope to those who believe the lie that they have to have a FICO score in order to get certain things because they're using a FICO score to develop premiums or interest rates or, right?
Oh, a lot of things use it.
So that piece of truth, I think, really needs to be put out in the world because so many people feel they have no choice but to have to open up the can of worms of creating a FICO score.
Right.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. So we are coming to the half hour here. So two questions left. If you could give everyone listening one insurance tip for peace of mind, what would that be?
If you are shopping your insurance, please don't call an agent and say, give me the bare minimum or state minimum limits. It really doesn't cost much more. Sometimes it's even less in premium to have the higher liability limits. The state minimum in New York is $25,000 per person, $50,000 per accident, with $10,000 property damage. Mm-hmm. If you hit somebody's brand new car, that $10,000 in property damage isn't going to pay for the damages to their vehicle.
Yeah.
And then they're going to come after you for whatever is needed to repair that car.
I just want to encourage the listeners, like, y'all, you get what you pay for.
Yes,
right?
You do.
So, like, don't be so afraid of actually investing for something that is of quality, that is going to be a good ROI. Don't be fearful of that and having this scarcity mindset that keeps you, like, a pauper.
Exactly.
You know, so that is a perfect example of that. So if others want to contact you, if they're in need and interested to see if you can offer better rates, if, you know, for the same, if not even for more coverage than they have right now, what would that, where would you like them to go?
Well, they can give our office a call. They can email me. My email address is lisa.jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N, at costneragency.com. And I'd be happy to help them.
And what's the phone number?
Oh, I apologize. It's 607-862-3222.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Lisa and Nicole. Yeah. It was great talk with you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.